First Samuel chapter 7. First Samuel chapter 7. We're going to read the first 12 verses of this chapter. The Philistines had captured the ark, and then the ark was causing them all sorts of trouble. So they put it on a cart and sent the oxen just go that way. Go back to your owners. And so that's where we pick it up in chapter 7. The ark is has returned. And in First Samuel chapter 7, in verse 1, and the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill, and sanctified Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. The ark is supposed to be in Israel, in Jerusalem. That's where it belongs, and it's working its way back, but it's not there yet. And it's been there 20 years. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Saul, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomforted them. And they were smitten before Israel. And after this took place, the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came to Bethcar. And Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Now, what I've got this message entitled, Leading Up to Ebenezer. Leading up to Ebenezer. Let's look at Israel's history as it leads them to Ebenezer, and we see how they were truly worshiping God. But what first thing we got to look at here is I don't know what's going on here. The Ark of the Covenant, which is a picture of the gospel, which is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is a place where God met with man. It's sitting there at this Kirjath-Jearim. It's there 20 years. 20 years, there's not much going on. Perhaps there's no years of atonement, because I looked up this Eleazar and he's one of many, but this one is, he just was sanctified to take care of the ark. He's not a high priest. If you're not a high priest, you can't make atonement. So 20 years. I don't know where Samuel was during all this. There's not much going on. No years of atonement, perhaps no real sincere worship of God. It's just sitting there, 20 years. I got to thinking about us. Perhaps we are here today just going through the motions. It happens. You just go through the motions. We've been coming here for how many years? Well, 30. I've been pastor 30 years. And to say that I've been resolute and astute and focused every time, no, it's not true. We sing hymns year after year. We become accustomed to going to church, doing religious things, etc. And I want you to notice verse 2 and the last phrases of verse 2. It was there 20 years, was a long time, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Now this again is like a parallel passage to the prodigal son. He's gone, he forgets about his God, he forgets about his father, he's hungry, he's starving, he's eating the husk that the swines would eat, and then he comes to himself. Well, that's sovereign awakening. That's sovereign quickening. They were there for 20 years. How come they wasn't 19 years? And then the house of Israel lamented. God, this is the first point. The Lord will have his people. He is not going to forsake his people whom he foreknew. God will fetch his people unto the ends of the earth. Electing love will surely be seen. It will be known and be experienced. This is a heart from the God of all grace. He makes us willing in his day, his time, by his Holy Spirit. 20 years, and then all of a sudden you got this break. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Whether it's a lost sheep or a fallen sheep, whether you know the gospel or don't know the gospel, God's going to have his way. God's going to get his people. He will be found of us, to the praise and the glory of his grace. We sing that song, all hail sovereign love that gave our soul a hiding place. We sing that. The second point. So whatever's going on here, I don't know what's going on in the 20 years, but I know it's lackadaisical, presumption, and then the Lord seeks his people. The Lord seeks his people, and they will hear, and they will return, they will be aroused by the preaching of his truth. Look at verse 3. And Samuel spake. He spake. The Lord uses the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, I'm not saying he's got to use a ordained, whatever that means, minister behind the pulpit. He'll use his people. He may use a little Israelite maiden to send Gehazi, to send that whole incident that when he got cured of his leprosy. He'll send that. Naaman, I'm sorry, he'll send Naaman. It'll get his attention. He may use a little Jewish girl. But God will cross our path. And he will, through his word spoken, aliven us once again or anew. And look at what he says here. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts and put away these strange gods and serve him only. Now again, this is Old Testament, so this is Old Covenant, so this is conditional. But with us, we know there's no conditions unto salvation. But the types hold up. The Lord will bring somebody and will tell you about what you're doing. Well, I thought my mama's religion. No, that was idolatry. Well, I thought when we came to worship, you had to have robes and we had to have a choir. No, that's man's inventions. Well, I thought I had to have an invitation and call somebody down front. No, that's an invitation of man. The servant of God, like Bruce said this morning in Bible class, we're going to tell the one whom we love. all the house of Israel, whoever will forbear, put away the strange God. The God of the scriptures is not the God of man. Put away strange gods. It's called spiritual idolatry. And you could be perfect and pure and right in your own eyes at home and don't do anything and don't, you know, as Henry would say, don't run around and chew and those who do, that type of thing. You could do all that and think you're good, but no. It's repenting from this and going to the scriptures, going to the God of the scriptures. The children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and serve the Lord, that last word, verse 4, only. Repent. The Lord is at hand. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ for security, for safety, and for forgiveness of sins. And we know that as we sin, as if we're believers and we've strayed away, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And as said, His word, the preached word, is always effectual. It's always effectual all the time. They serve the Lord only. The Lord's people do. And we stray, like perhaps we strayed for 20 years, or perhaps we played religion for 20 years and don't know Him. But he's gonna have His people. As Maurice would say, it's called fetching grace. Well, look at verse 6. Repentance is known, sin is acknowledged, and the heart is poured forth. And they gathered together at Mizpah and drew water and poured out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said, "We have sinned against the Lord. We have sinned against the Lord." And that's, David says, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned." No, he sinned against he sinned against his wife. He sinned against the children of Israel. When he was supposed to be out at war, he stayed back and he saw Bathsheba. He saw, he looked, and he took. There's the progression of sin. But he said, when he was repenting, he said, "I've sinned against you and you only." So they say, that in this drawing of water and pouring it out, it's like David did when he was at the cave Adullam and he was talking about how thirsty he was and this and that, and those men went behind enemy lines and got him a cold thing of water and gave it to him. He poured it out. It says, "I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. And God has humbled me, and I'm pouring out my heart like this water. I have in my hands, I bring nothing, but looking to you and you alone." Acknowledge, sin is acknowledged. The heart is poured out in humility. Our nothingness is known and felt. And true worship is known. We are brought down before we are lifted up. We are emptied before we're filled. We're made to see sin exceeding sinful in order to see our sins judged upon our Redeemer. The next phrase, "And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah." We realize our sins have been judged on Christ and we're free. Oh, happy condition. Jesus has bled and there is remission. And I know that song causes legalists, it causes them angst. They cannot stand that because I've heard them say that to me. But we know our sins have been judged. It says it right here in type. "And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah." Samuel is a beautiful type of Christ. He's a type of Christ here. And then he offers a sacrifice. And that's a type of Christ. And it's always heard. And it's, you know, the Lord heard him. The Lord heard him. But here's what happens. And I've seen this happen in my own situation, or I've seen it happen before. Verse 7, "The Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together at Mizpah, and the lords of the Philistines went up to fight against Israel. And the children of Israel heard it. They were afraid of the Philistines, and the children of Israel said to Samuel, 'Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us.'" Don't stop interceding. And then we always cry that every morning, "Lord, do not stop interceding for me, that He will save us out of the hands of the Philistine. He will deliver us." And He does continually, time and time again. "And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And look at verse 10. At that moment, when this is going on, as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. Stop there. Now, false religion, when you understand the truth of Christ and Him crucified, the truth of the sovereignty of God, the sovereign grace of God towards undeserving vile sinners, then the religious world gets mad and they start to come against you. We can abide, they say that we can abide near you if you aren't too Christ-centered or Christ-honoring, but once the true and only gospel, the grace of God, is received and believed upon, watch out. The enemies will gather their ugly head against the Lord and His Christ. When they hear of a slain sacrifice, a full atonement made, a sovereign free election had for the most vile and most criminal of sinners, no, they will not have this Christ to reign over us. No, they, false religion, cannot handle a full pardon without some works put it on their part, or some words of free will or man's worth. They got to have all that to make them feel comfortable. But when that's all excluded, they will not abide. And the Israelites, the Philistines, they took this exact moment. This is not by coincidence or by accident. It's in the Scriptures. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And as soon as they had left their strange gods, as soon as the 20 years were over and things started happening, it's just like this throughout the whole Scriptures. In Kings, when they were wanting to rebuild the temple, the enemies were trying to distract them. Kept on trying to distract them over and over and over. They will not abide. What's the difference? Turn to the fourth chapter and the 12th verse. What's going on? What's the difference now? Well, God's going on now. 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 12. Oops, let's see. That's not right. Well, we'll look at verses 1 and 2. And the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from where? Ebenezer. They're in Ebenezer. They're in Mizpah, but they're there. And the Philistines took the ark of God. They brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. Also at Ebenezer, and that's where I got it, I don't have the right passage. Actually, also at Ebenezer is when the children of Israel were defeated. So they were defeated at Ebenezer prior, my point is, and the ark was taken at Ebenezer. What's the difference? Our enemies are not bothered or threatened when the Lord's people or we act like we're just religious. But look at Ebenezer now. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not the crying of the Lord for our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a lamb and offered it, it's a picture of Christ, a burnt offering, holy. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for who? For Israel, and Israel only. That's the difference. Before, my point is they had the ark. It's just a religious relic. And then when I had a passage in chapter 4, I was trying to find it, they had the ark with them. Like, we'll get the ark. They said, let's go get the ark. Let's make sure we got our little crosses around our necks. That's what I'm saying. They were playing religion. They knew God, but they're playing religion. Let's have our little thing I used to carry when I was in college, Christ, the cross in my pocket. Take it out. I was trusting in that. And it's easy for believers to do that. We can do that. That's what my point is. 20 years, I don't know what's going on. But I'm saying then, relics of religion without the reality of it. Then, in Ebenezer, the names are the same. It's Ebenezer. It's Ebenezer. What's the difference? Everybody loves Jesus. No, now we can go through a real mediator. That's what they're doing. The ark, they're not even talking about the ark, is my point. They're not talking about religious relics. Remember that brass, the brass serpent? It was used of God. Moses, he made that, etc. And then years later, they were worshiping it. David said, break it. It's just a piece of brass. That's what's going on now. A real mediator. What's going on now? Our mediator is interceding on our behalf. God is now their God, our God, and there's nothing artificial or any religious relics between us and him. Now, Christ is always heard of by his Father. Christ is offered up to God for us. Now, each and every believer, elect, remnant, chosen sinner is safe. Because it says, Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel. Before they had this thing. You think the Philistines, this is the same thing we had before. This is the same thing that happened before. They got this ark. They're not worried about that ark. I'm not worried about a wailing wall, if it's standing or not. I told you that story about a friend of mine, a friend of mine at the parks department. He started talking about the Ark of the Covenant. Boy, if we could just find that. I said, that's Indiana Jones stuff. He goes, no, I'm serious. He goes, if we had that Ark. And I said, it's just a box. And people all over the place, they have stuff, they have relics. That's all they are. Not for everyone, for Israel only, but specifically, personally, and truly for his people. He says it in John 17, I pray not for these only, but for them who will believe through your word. So now we're up to this true Ebenezer. And the beautiful thing is the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines. They were watching. He said the Lord will fight our battle. They were standing there watching, scared to death, asking a picture of Christ to intercede for them, and he did, and it says the Lord heard, and he always hears. The Father always hears when the Son speaks. The Son has the Father's ear, and the Holy Spirit is part of that Trinity, and they all work in harmony, and all work in jelly together, and he will make his people strong. And when the Philistine, they thundered upon the day of the Philistines and discomforted them, and they were smitten before Israel. And then the men of Israel went out and pursued them and smote them. Here I raise my Ebenezer. We sing that song. This place right here is an Ebenezer. No, this place isn't the stone of God. But we gather together to say, hitherto, the Lord has helped us. So right here. And the churches that the Lord has throughout this country and this world, they're Ebenezers. Because here we speak of our Ebenezer. The saint of God shouts constantly of a truth. Hitherto the Lord has helped us and saved us time and time again. And I'll tell you, once the Father gives grace to see our Emmanuel in everything, in every circumstance, in every situation, like what's going on here in this country, whether it's crazy or not. But once the Father gives us grace to see Emmanuel, to see hitherto the Lord has helped us, the name of it's Ebenezer. It's the stone of help. It's in Ebenezer. But Ebenezer with religious relics didn't do any good. And Ebenezer, the place is where they got spoiled. So it's not this building, but this is the place that the Lord has given us to gather together. When the Lord does that, this is what's going to happen. And let's close in verse 13. So the Philistines were subdued, And they came no more into the coast of Israel, and the land of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Peace. Do we seek peace? They have peace. They had peace. They had no more war. And then it's also, they did, I think the Amorites and then the other tribes, they were afraid of them because God was in their midst. They had peace. In a world full of confusion and nonsense and false gospels, they gathered together at Ebenezer and had peace all the days of Samuel. Well, why is that so important? Because in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 forward, because Christ is our peace. He's broken that wall down, that wall between us, petition. So my desire is for us to have peace. My responsibility is to preach the Prince of Peace and God's people. Surrounded by the enemy, he'll let us lie down beside still waters. So brethren, may we be surrounded by our true help, and may we surround ourselves with our true helper, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Ebenezer. Matt, would you close us?